Well, praise the Lord. You know, once a quarter, we have a message about leadership. And tonight, we're going to do that. And I just want to encourage you that if you are a Christian, you're supposed to be a leader to somebody. Everybody, every Christian can be a leader to somebody. Because here's the thing. If you're a Christian, well, there are some people that don't know what you know. There are some people that don't have what you have, and you can be an influence in their life. Now, you might be saying, well, I don't know much, but if you know Jesus, you know more than some people. And I just want you to understand, when we talk about leadership, yes, certainly we're talking about, you know, those that serve in some leadership capacity. I especially think that every parent ought to take it to heart that, you know, you're, if nothing else, you're leading your children. I hope you are, right? But all of us can influence some around us. I mean, there's some coworkers that you can be a leader to, an example to, and have an influence, an impact on their life. And so just want to encourage you that, yeah, this message is for you. And even if you are a lost person and you don't know the Lord, I want you to know the Holy Spirit is able to speak to you through this message tonight. All right. Well, many today say that leadership is influence. And I actually think that's a little bit simplistic. I think there's more to it than that. But Jesus absolutely is the most influential person in history. I know some of you have heard me talk about this before, but it just so amazes me, and I just got to mention this story tonight. When my daughter was in high school, she had an English teacher that asked the kids to write a paper about who they thought was the most influential person in history. And she said, you can write about anybody that you want. She even mentioned, she said, you could write about Hitler. Well, my daughter wrote about Jesus, of course, and she got a C. She didn't have any grammatical errors. There's nothing else wrong with the paper. But the teacher, it made her mad. And we went to see her and talk to her about it. And she said, well, I'm a Christian, but Jesus is not the most influential person in history. Muhammad is more influential than Jesus. And in my daughter's paper, she had actually cited references that talked about how that there was about 2 billion Christians at that time in the world, you know, people that at least professed Jesus, and only about 1 billion that professed to be Muslim. But it didn't faze her. She absolutely didn't want anybody to write about Jesus. In fact, after that year, she still had the students write a paper about the most influential person, but she told them straight up, anybody but Jesus. You can't write about Jesus. You know, the really weird thing about that to me is she was a Christian. I don't know what kind of Christian that is, but anyway, I want you to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the greatest leader of all time. Jesus is the most influential person, absolutely the most influential person in history. Nobody changed the world like Jesus. Nobody changed eternity like Jesus. I mean, he's the reason this is called 2024. We're in the 2024 year of our Lord. He said he would build this church, the gates of hell wouldn't be able to stop it, and he's still doing it. It is still growing and getting bigger and bigger all the time. He is the greatest leader of all time. You know, he knows everything there is to know about leadership. I want to remind you of a few things before we really get into this tonight. Leadership is about leading. Don't take that for granted. I want you to think about it. It's not about driving. It's not about pushing. It's not about forcing. It's about leading. That's what leadership is about. I mean, it's not really about having a position or a title. You can have a position or a title and not really lead anyone. You can have no position at all and still have a great influence on other people's lives. You know, when we have a position, a title like father, mother, boss, teacher, pastor, it certainly gives us opportunity and gives us a greater platform in a way. It also gives us greater responsibility and accountability. Jesus says, to whom much is given, much is required. But all of us can be a leader to somebody. You know, when you look at Jesus as a leader, there's a lot of passages of scripture that you could talk about. I mean, you could teach about Jesus and leadership for a whole year. There's just so much that Jesus is the ultimate leader, and there's so much there. You could look at a lot of different passages, but tonight we're going to talk about leading like Jesus. We're just going to focus on one passage. I mean, we'll talk about a few other verses along the way, but we're going to focus on one passage. It's John chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. And it starts off like this. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. I want you to hear this. A shepherd leads sheep. He really is a leader, you see. And, you know, when Jesus called people, he simply said this, follow me. The shepherd leading his sheep, he just said, follow me. And you know what? It's always been that way. Nobody has ever been forced to follow Jesus. It's an invitation that's up to every person to answer when he says, follow me. But he is the ultimate leader. It's amazing. The disciples were willing to follow him to the very end, literally. Every single one of them was persecuted horribly, and all of them, except for John, were martyred. John, they boiled him in oil, is what history says, but he didn't die. But all of the rest of them were martyred. They followed him to the very end. How could this be? Such leadership. That's the kind of influence that Jesus had on their lives, that even 30 or 40 years later, they're still following him. No matter what happens, no matter what other people say or do, they would never deny him or go back. That's the kind of leader that Jesus was. Jesus is the greatest of all time. That's right. When it comes to leadership. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus says in both verses 11 and 14, I am the good shepherd. I want you to hear this now. Jesus is not just any shepherd, he's the good shepherd. And if we're going to lead like Jesus, we got to have good character. You know, Jesus says none is good but God alone. But I want to tell you something. Goodness is a fruit, is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we're not just doing this on our own. We are born of the Spirit of God. We're born again. We're a new creation in Christ. And that goodness, see, that's available to us if we walk in the Spirit. Yes, we can be good. And here's the thing. If we're going to have the right kind of influence on other people, we got to have good character. See, there's a lot of people in this world that have all kinds of influence, but they're not good leaders. Can you say amen? I mean, from celebrities to politicians, even pastors and parents. So there's good ones and there's bad ones. We got to decide, which one am I going to be? Are we going to be a good influence or not? But if we're going to be like Jesus, if we're going to lead like Jesus, we got to decide, you know what? I'm going to have good character. I'm going to have integrity in my life. I'm going to be a good influence on those that are around me. See, the ones that we influence, are we going to influence them to serve God? Are we going to influence them to obey, to do what is right? Are we going to influence them to draw closer to God? I mean, here's what Jesus said to some of the religious leaders of his day, Matthew 12, 33 through 35. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. He says you got to make the tree good. See, you can't bear good fruit if you're not good. You got to make the tree good. We can't have a good influence. We can't be a good leader if our character is flawed. No, we got to get it right. Then he says this, brood of vipers. Wow, he lets them have it. Brood of vipers, you bunch of snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? See, here's the thing. Here's what Jesus says. A bad person can't speak good things. Now, you know, I think about that and I think, oh, you know, they could. Yeah, they can talk out of both sides of their mouth. Sure, they can say something good, but when it's not coming from a good heart, it's not going to accomplish anything good. I'm just telling you, Jesus says a bad person can't say good things. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. How can we be good? I'm telling you, it is a matter of the heart. You know, today, sometimes when somebody does wrong, and maybe they do a lot of wrong, it's amazing that some people will say, oh, but they have a good heart. Well, all of that wrong they did, it all came out of that heart. And we can call it good, you know. I understand the sentiment of what they're trying to say, but the truth is that whatever bad in our life, it originated out of our heart. If we want to raise godly children, we got to be godly. We got to do our best to have integrity and to say what's right and do what's right. He tells us in verse 35 that what comes out is a result of what we have treasured in our heart. Now think about this. Our influence, our leadership in other people's lives is a byproduct of what we have stored up, treasured in our heart. That's what's going to come out in our life. That's what proceeds, you see, that's what proceeds out of our life. And where did it originate? From our heart. You need to understand this. You see, if we want to be a good influence, if we want to be a good leader, if we want to have an impact on other people's lives, we need to get our hearts right, keep our hearts right. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The NIV makes it a little clearer, it's a little simpler. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You see, you got to guard your heart because your life is going to proceed out of your heart. And so he says, guard it. You guard it with all diligence. You got to stand guard over your heart. Keep your heart right. You don't let junk get in your heart. You're supposed to be the keeper of your heart. That means you decide what gets into your heart. Don't leave it up to people around you. But one of the ways that we can guard our heart is by being wise about what we put before our eyes. Psalm 101, verse 2 and 3, the psalmist says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Can you imagine? I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. See, what you put before your eyes can get down in your heart. You know, one of the things that comes to mind here is pornography. The psalmist, I mean, in this day and time, they didn't have any pornography. But I'm sure they had some things that they considered to be evil. And I just want you to understand, it's not just about pornography, though. It could be about a whole lot of different things. But he says, I will put nothing wicked before my eyes. You see, what you put in your heart, it can bring out negative thoughts and feelings and words and actions. I use the word negative. And Jesus said evil. Y'all got real quiet when we got to this. Listen, we're going to make it through this part. You're going to be all right. But as much as is possible, we need to be careful about what we put before our eyes. You need to be careful about what you listen to. You know, when you listen to all kinds of negative stuff and bad reports, it can undermine your faith. And this is a terrible thing when a leader gets to the place where they're speaking doubt and unbelief and even fear. And there's a whole lot of that going on in our world, and not just among unbelievers, but even among believers, even among preachers, doomsdaying, talking about how terrible everything is, and it's just going from bad to worse, and oh my goodness, you know, it's like Jesus fell off the throne. Jesus is still Lord. And we are a people of faith, and we stand on the promises of God, and we shouldn't be propagating and spreading that garbage. That ain't no way to lead people. Just remember, there were 12 leaders that spied out the land. There were two that said we should go in because we are well able. They knew that God had promised it to them. There were 10 with a bad report. Don't be that kind of leader. But let me tell you something. Somehow, those men allowed fear and doubt and unbelief to get in their heart, and they spread it to everybody else. So we got to be careful about what we listen to. Don't listen to the bad report. Here's another thing that people hear. Proverbs 26:22. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body. They get deep down inside of you. See, when you listen to gossip, that stuff gets down in your heart. And it's a terrible thing when somebody uses their influence, listen, and talks bad about other people and spreads rumors. And, you know, people a lot of times they say, well, it's true. That is the, I'm trying to be nice. That is not a wise thing to say. Let me show you why. Do you think a pastor ever knows anything about people that's true and it's bad? Should he tell it? No. We don't do that. And yet people use that as an excuse for spreading stuff about other people. They say, well, it's true. I just want you to understand that as a leader, your influence, even your own kids, you're having a negative impact in their life when you talk bad about other people in front of your kids. But anybody, you want to influence somebody at your workplace, don't be gossiping and putting other people down and saying, no, don't let that stuff get in your heart, because it will end up coming out of your mouth and having the wrong kind of influence. Here's what we should be storing up. Oh, I just got to get this in here, by the way. Let me tell you how you can find all of that negative stuff in one quick, easy place. Social media. All kinds of junk. Everything imaginable. All kinds of gossip and all kinds of slander and fear and doubt and unbelief and just all kinds of evil. All in one little place. Now listen, I want you to understand, social media can be used for good too, but here's the point. You got to guard your heart and be careful about what you allow to get in your heart. So here's what we should be storing up in our heart. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now we did a little of that tonight, but did you know he says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, we ought to just go throughout our day singing songs to the Lord. Just keeping your mind on the Lord, praising Him, keeping your heart right. See, he said singing and making melody in your heart. This is how you store up good in your heart. Here's another way. Here's one of the very best ways. Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, you store up the word of God in your heart. You treasure the word of God, and it'll change the fruit of your life. It'll change your influence in other people's lives. See, what are you storing up? Good or bad, or probably for most of us, a combination. And that is going to end up being our influence. Good or bad, or a combination. I want to challenge you tonight. If we want to be a good influence, we got to be a good leader, like the good shepherd. See, I told you we'd make it through that one. To lead like Jesus, we have to lay down our lives. In both verses 11 and 15, Jesus tells us he gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Everything that Jesus did was for somebody else. It was for us, amen? He laid down his life for us. Did you know Satan, it was one of the temptations of Jesus. He tried to get Jesus to do something for himself. He tempted him after a 40-day fast to turn the stones into bread. It was easy for Jesus. He could have turned those stones into bread. Just like he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. He could have turned them into bread, but he wouldn't do it. He didn't do anything for himself. He did it all for us. Everything he did. He said he didn't come to be served, but to serve. See, he didn't come so we could serve him and do for him as he walked this earth. He came to serve us by dying on a cross. And we just need to understand what he did for us. If we want to lead, we're supposed to be the servant of all. Here's how a man can lead his family, lead his wife. See, sometimes men get the wrong idea about being the head of their household. They think being the head of their household means that they get to watch what they want to watch on TV. Too bad for the rest of you, because I'm the head of my household, so I'm going to watch what I want. That's not being the head of your household. Here's how a man can lead his wife. Husbands, love your wives as just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. You lay down your life. And that's really what we have to do as leaders, is we got to be willing to give of ourselves. We got to be willing to put our wants on the back burner. See? It's always about those that we would hope to lead. It's never about us. See, some people think that being the leader means that you get to do what you want. That is so wrong. Because when we truly lead like Jesus, we put aside our wants and we do what's best for those that we lead. Now, parents, you heard me. I didn't say you do what they want. There's too many goofy parents in this world letting their kids decide, you know. Everybody's got an equal vote in the family. Oh, my goodness. Your four-year-old doesn't need to be voting. But you do what's best for your family. That's the right way to lead. And you see, it's never about us. It's always about those that we want to have an influence on, those that we want to impact. It's one of the greatest principles of leadership, is that leadership is never about us. It's always about others. But it's also part of what it means to follow Jesus. In Luke 9, 23 and 24, Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. He says, deny yourself. Really, really unpopular teaching. Deny yourself. The world says indulge yourself. And some people have tried to turn Christianity and into another way to get what you want. But Jesus says, if you want to come after me, deny yourself. Tell yourself no. Look at verse 24. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. You see, we don't really find real life until we're willing to lay down our life, let it go. Now, you know, next to Jesus, the Apostle Paul was such a great leader. And he said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he says, I die daily. He's not talking about literally, is he? What does he mean? He's saying that he doesn't do what he wants, that he's willing to put aside all of his selfish ambition and his wants and desires and do what needs to be done. And I got to tell you, that's a hard thing, but you know what? To really be that leader to the people that you want to reach or you want to influence, you got to get to the place where you're willing to put your selfish ambitions and what you want aside in order to reach them or to help them or to lead them. Let me just give you a little bit of an illustration here. I knew one youth pastor many years ago that he didn't really like teenagers. I know that sounds crazy. It is crazy. Good grief. Do something else. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't really like teenagers, but so what he did is that only fellowships or anything like that he would ever do is he would just go out to restaurants to go to eat. And he had people in the youth group that were 30 years old. But those, you know, junior hires, he didn't want to be around them. He couldn't hardly stand them. Guess what? He had no influence on those junior hires, none whatsoever. They knew how he felt about them. You see, it was his being the youth pastor, it was about him. It wasn't about those kids. And I'm just telling you that we see that kind of leadership a lot in our world. But we need to understand that if we're going to lead like Jesus, it's not about us. And we got to be willing to lay down our life in order to truly lead. By the way, when a child becomes convinced that you really love them and you only want what's best for them, that's half the battle. When they really believe that you only want what's best for them. But if they think you're just being selfish, they're going to be trouble. They need to see that you are willing to lay your own wants aside, to sacrifice for them. And I'm not talking about that they get what they want. I'm talking about that you do what's best for them. To lead like Jesus, we make ourselves a servant. We put others first. To lead like Jesus, we have to care for those we lead. Now, it may sound cliche because, you know, you heard it before, but they don't care what we know until they know we care. And it doesn't matter who you're talking about. If you want to influence anybody, they don't care what you know until they know you care. In John 10, 12 and 13, we read this. It says, a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. See, a hireling wants to lead for the wrong reasons. Some want to lead for pride. Some want to lead just so they can get their way. Some want to lead for prestige or position or recognition. Some want to lead because there's money involved. Our motivation for leading others, I want to tell you, it has to be right. To lead like Jesus, you got to lead for the right reason. And what's the right reason? Because you care about them. That's why you want to lead them. That's why you want to influence them. That's why you're trying to help them. But when we lead because of our selfish ambition, it just doesn't work. It's got to be because we care. Matthew 9:36, it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion because of the needs of the people, like sheep without a shepherd. Think about this. They didn't have anybody to lead them. Just sheep without a shepherd. Just trying to figure it out, do it all on their own. Lost. They needed a shepherd. And I just want you to understand that there's a whole lot of people in this world that they don't have a clue. They're sheep without a shepherd. They need Jesus. But guess what? Jesus wants to use some of us to reach those people. But whoever we would want to lead, we need to realize how important this is. You got to care. That's why you want to lead them. You want to help them. When we see people hurting, even if they are suffering the consequences of their own bad choices, we need to care. We want to help them. Find a way to help them find their way. To lead like Jesus, we have to have a relationship with those we lead. Listen to this from verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Now, I want you to hear me. Certainly, we can influence people we don't know. I mean, celebrities have proven that over and over and over. I mean, they can influence millions that they don't know. And now you got this whole thing, you know, the influencers. But I'm talking about something much more than that and something much deeper than that. I'm talking about real impact for eternity. See, we need to understand the greatest potential for lasting impact, it comes from relationship. Jesus influenced lots of people that he didn't have a relationship with. I mean, at times there were tens of thousands that were following Jesus. He didn't have a relationship with every single one of those people. I mean, he fed them dinner and he taught, but he didn't have a relationship with all those people. And here's what happens, you know. In John chapter 6, he feeds 5,000, and then the next day, they didn't like his teaching. Makes me feel better. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes they didn't like Jesus' teaching. But they didn't like his teaching. Here's what happened. It's John 6, 66 to 69. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe that you and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, we have come to believe and know. Why did the 12 stay with him? Relationship. They knew him. They knew who he was. The Son of God, the Word made flesh, God incarnate. He chose, think about this, he chose 12 to pour himself into. He was with them day and night. The relationship that he had with those 12. And we know there was one that was lost, but I just want you to understand, you see, those 12 that he invested so much into when there were tens of thousands. But what happened? Those 12, you know, we can forget about Judas and just add the Apostle Paul, who became an apostle later, but Those 12 turned the world upside down. The Bible actually says that. They turned the world upside down. 12 guys turned the world upside down. How did this happen? Because of the impact that Jesus had with them. And how did that happen? He had such a relationship with them. He was with them all the time, teaching them and correcting them and guiding them, training them even. Amen? I just want you to understand. You see, we need to understand this principle. The closer the relationship, the greater the potential for influence. Yes, you can influence people that you just met. Certainly you can. Jesus did also, like the woman at the well. Yes, you can do that. Yes, you should do that. But understand this, the closer the relationship, the greater the potential for lasting impact. And that is true even with your family members. I mean, you know, some people, they want their kids to do right and they want to influence them the right way, but they don't have a good relationship with their kids. And I just want to tell you that relationship is so important. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying tonight. I'm not saying be the cool parent. That baloney doesn't work. I'm just talking about that you got to spend time with your kid. And like we said earlier, sometimes you got to put what you want aside. I mean, you want to watch the game on TV, but how much better is it for you to be at their game? You know what I'm saying? You just got to be willing to invest the time and have that close relationship. You got to eat dinner with them. You got to talk to them all the time. Next, to lead like Jesus, we have to have a relationship with the Father. John 10:15, Jesus says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I want you to understand this was a key part of his leadership, because what he did and what he said, it came from the Father. And if we're going to have an influence, if we're going to lead others, we got to have a real relationship with the Father. I mean, you can't lead somebody where you're not going. I mean, I can point you in the right direction. I can say, now the youth hall's over here. If you go out that door, go down that way, and then you turn that way. But if I'm going to lead you there, I'm going to have to go myself. You understand what I'm saying? And you see, if we want to lead somebody to live for God and to really know God, to really have a relationship with God, well, we're going to have to be going that way ourselves. You know what I'm saying? You can't just tell somebody else they need to be close to God. You got to show them. And it's all about a relationship with the Lord. That's what this is really all about. You can't have a real relationship with the Lord without prayer. Prayer is the key to a relationship with the Lord. I hear this phony baloney some people say today that they got a relationship with God no matter what. You got some kind of relationship with him. But if you want a real relationship with him, you're going to have to talk to him. And you know, right now on Sundays, we're talking about hearing God. And that's supposed to be part of that relationship too. Jesus certainly heard the Father. In fact, he said, I say what he gives me to say. And we just need to realize that this relationship is so important, because if we're going to influence anybody else, we want them to know the Father. We want them to be getting closer to the Father. See, you can teach people right from wrong. You can teach them to be religious. I mean, you can teach good morals, teach them to tell the truth. But if we don't connect them with the Father, we miss the whole thing. Next, to lead like Jesus, we have to always be looking for the lost. Verse 16, he said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. We all know he told the parable, the story of if one man has 99 sheep and one is lost, he'll leave the 99 and go look for the one. And Jesus makes it clear that we're always supposed to be looking for the lost. Now think about this. He uses the analogy again of a lost sheep. We're looking for a sheep that's lost their way. They need somebody to lead them. Do you know everybody in here knows somebody that is out of church? They may have never known the Lord, but there's a whole lot of people that knew the Lord at one time, but they're no longer walking with Him. They're lost. They need somebody to lead them back. And I'm just telling you that you see this in the heart of Jesus, that He says, I have others which are not of this fold that I must bring. There are others that we need to bring. It can't just be about my four and no more. This isn't a spiritual club. We got to remember there's people that need what we have. Those sheep without a shepherd, they need somebody to lead them. Be a leader. You know, Jesus loves them and He wants us to bring them in. He told the disciples in John 4:35, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He's talking about people. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're ready. See, and here's the thing. Lift up your eyes. We got to get our eyes off ourselves. And we even have to get our eyes off of just, listen, just our family and just our friends. You know, I got my little group. We're good. You know, I got my group. We're good. There's too many people that need somebody to lead them. Somebody that can show them the way. I'm so glad that one day some girl at school that I had just barely met said, I want you to come to church with me. Invite them to church. Reach out to them, pray for them. But there's so many that need somebody to lead them the right direction. One of the greatest things that we could ever teach those we lead, including our children, is to care for the lost. You know, when you say lead like Jesus, to me, it really sets the bar high. That's pretty intimidating. But as followers of Jesus, we ought to be learning to be more and more like Him. That we can lead more and more like Him and have influence in somebody else's life. There'll be some who have led thousands to know the Lord, to be closer to God. But did you know, if you lead just one person closer to God, to them, it can make the difference in their eternity. Don't miss that. Let's learn to lead like Jesus. Stand with me. We're going to pray.